The following sermon was preached at Selma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
I don't know what is going on here. I was just very confused by this, but then I realized that's Southern gospel. Right? And so there's black gospel I grew up with, there's Southern gospel, there's all kinds of things. But like when we hear gospel, our minds go in 1,000 different directions. But I think this passage really does a good job of just summing up what the gospel actually is. And so this chapter, God's word, carries in great detail the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're here to celebrate, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so we're here to celebrate that. And here, all of the religions have their savior, right? I have Muslim friends that are celebrating Ramadan right now, and I was talking to one the other day, and he goes, you know, Muhammad lived just like Jesus lived. I said, that's great, but he also remains dead, and he's in the grave still. That's not Jesus. And then you can talk about Buddha, and I have friends that are Buddhist or Hindu, and they say, well, Buddha lived and he died, and I'm like, you're right, they'll never change, but you can still find his grave. And then you get the Joseph Smith or Charles Russell or Mary Baker Eddy, or all of them are still in their graves. You can go find them. But after his death on Calvary, they placed Jesus in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later, that's what we celebrate today, he rose and has risen forevermore, because he is risen.
Indeed.
He's risen indeed. At least 5 times, guys. At least 5 times. Jesus told us he would rise from the grave. Over and over, he said it. And it's kind of like when your mama tells you something over and over, she kind of wants you to hear it, right? But it's funny, because the disciples heard it over and over, and were still surprised by it, right? He rose, and they said, Oh, he got up. Oh, that's right. He did say that, didn't he? Right? That's exactly what happened. 5 times he said it. And in this passage, Paul literally states that the resurrected Christ was seen by Peter, seen by Paul, the rest of the apostles, and he actually 500 other witnesses. And the verses do more to describe the work of Christ and the importance of the resurrection, but they also give a clear summary of the gospel. So when you hear the gospel, I want you to think of this passage, because I think it's clear, absolutely clear what he does. Because in the church life, we hear a lot about gospel and what it means, but it literally means good news. Everybody say good news.
Good news.
Now, in antiquity, this isn't normative to just the Christian religion. I mean, when in the Battle of Marathon, where we get marathons for, which, by the way, if you run those, repent, okay? But in the Battle of Marathon, a guy ran to bring the gospel to his king because they had won the battle. Euangelion, which is the Greek word, is gospel. So gospel is good news. But sometimes in order to appreciate the good news, you got to know the bad news, right? Right, like the good news may be, yay, I'm not getting whooping today. The bad news may be, yay, I'm still grounded, right? Like, so there's bad news, and sometimes that bad news helps you appreciate the good news. You have to understand that. And in case of the good news of Jesus Christ, the bad news is that many years ago in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve rebelled, right? Adam and Eve rebelled. They turned against God. The rebellion brought death, brought suffering, brought separation from God into this world. Sin was passed down to each and every one of us through this world. And when sin was passed down throughout the ages, it said that we are all guilty before God. That's you, that's me, that's all of us. Romans 5 and 12 says that. Wherefore, it says, by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed on all men, for all have sinned. Matter of fact, it goes on in Romans 3:23, says, for all, everybody say all. Just to make sure you know you're encompassed in this too. If you ever meet somebody that says they don't sin, please run, because lightning's about to hit them, right? Like, it's everybody sins. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's the bad news. You're in that boat, I'm in that boat. And here's what happens. It happens all the time. People will come up and go, well, I'm a good person. Yes, in comparison to Hitler, you are a great individual. Congratulations. We're all on that thing. But in comparison to Mother Teresa, you're not doing too well, right? And here's the thing. If you talk to Mother Teresa, which we can't anymore, but if you talk to her, she would say, I'm not really a good person. In comparison to who Jesus is, you're not a good person. Here's a good example you could use. Who's been to the St. Louis Arch before? You ever been to the St. Louis Arch? Seen that big old thing? It gets larger the closer you get, right? Like, you see it off in the distance, like, oh, it's the arch. And then you get closer, you're like, oh, it's the, oh my, oh my. And the freaky thing about it is when you get up there, it goes back and forth. It's really, I hate it. But it just kind of swings back and forth with the wind. It's uncomfortable, right? But if you want to measure your goodness against Jesus' goodness, this will just give you an idea. Take a business card and put it at the bottom of the arch, just at one of the corners, one of the feet. Your goodness is about the size of that business card, and Jesus is somewhere near the top. That's how far different it really is. Because we go, oh, I've done some good things. It's right. It's about big. But it looks real big when you're back in St. Charles and you're going, oh, look. Look, the business card lines up really good. Get closer. Because the closer to get to Jesus, the more you see that my goodness really doesn't measure up to who Jesus is. It doesn't measure up very much at all. And that's the bad news that we all need to hear. But I do have good news. I don't want to leave Easter with just bad news, amen? So I want to give you some good news. And the good news is that God has done something that we could never do. He said, through the wages of sin is death, and although the true gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the good news, that God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, into the world, that he lived the sinless life that you should have lived, and he died the death that we should have died, and he suffered on our behalf, and at Calvary he took our place, and he paid our sin and our debt. Jesus died on the cross, and on the third day he rose again. And through faith, we can be saved in all of our sins and receive everlasting life and spend eternity with him in heaven. Amen. Like, I can't wait to spend eternity with him in heaven, to celebrate with him, to understand that he took all of my bad stuff and gave me all of his good stuff. Yeah. Parents, we understand this, don't we? Amen. When your kids, they give you something and you look at it and you go, I don't want that. When they're eating like a half of an ice cream cone and they go, Mama, you want the rest? No. I've seen what you've done with your hands. I've seen what's been in your mouth. I don't want any of that. But they hand it to you and look at you like, please. And then you take it and you take that little lick off the side, right? Like, just to kind of appease them. And you wait till you're not looking and toss it in the trash. Kids, that's what we do. So that's it happens all the time. Jesus did even worse than that. He took all of your sin, your bad stuff, your crud, all the ratchetness you've done in your life. He took all of that on, and he said, here is my righteousness. I'll take your righteousness, and I'll give you my righteousness so that you can enter the kingdom of God, so that you can stand before my Father and be clean, be perfect. And what I've just shared with you, that is the simple gospel. That, when you hear gospel, should think of that. That is what it is. And many churches have members that will deliver a gospel presentation. It seems every other month there's a new program to describe a gospel presentation. But here in 1 Corinthians 15, there's a clear summary of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you join me in a second, I just want to give you a simple little thing, a couple points. The first thing in the soul tattoo, if you forget everything else, because I know as a preacher, y'all forget half what I say. So if you forget everything else I say today, I just want you to get this one line. I'm going to put it on the screen so you can see it. It's this. God has a message for you. Matter of fact, everybody say that with me. God has a message. Now change it up. Don't say you. Say me. To make it personal. Let's try it one more again. God... You wouldn't be here today if he didn't. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much that you have personalized a message for every one of us, that you reach us where we are, that you talk to us right now, that you call us into your marvelous light. This message is not just for the lost among us, but the saved also. That is glorious that we can be before you. Jesus, thank you so much that death is not final. That the bad news doesn't stay if we choose to receive the gift of you in our life. Father, give us it all, yourself and more. In your name we pray. And all God's saints would say,
amen.
So the first thing I want you to grasp today is that God has a message for you. He's got a message for you. He's calling you right now. And this message, again, isn't just for the lost one. Because some people are like, oh, this is for all the non-believers. No, it's for you, believer, too. If you're a Christ follower, it's for you, because for this may be a revelation you've never heard before. And I remember, for me personally, before I was a Christ follower, I went to church on Easter Sunday, and this guy got up on stage, and he bounced around stage with way more energy than I probably have right now, and he told this simple gospel message. And I said, yo, I've never heard that before. Now, the truth be told, I'd heard all my whole life. I'd grown up in church. But I didn't have ears to hear. So maybe for some of y'all, this will be the first time you have ears to hear, and I pray that's true. But for some of us, we've grown up in church and we know the gospel. We've lived the gospel. It's our whole life. Great. God says, I got a message for you too. You see, I want you to examine verse 3 and 4 with me. Look down in verse 3 and 4. Again, page 904 in that hardback black pew Bible. I'm going to read these real quick, because I want you to see that for some of God's message, it's a revelation. Here it is, right here. For I delivered you as first importance, But what I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. There are three main subjects you're going to see in this passage. First, I want you to see a revelation concerning Jesus' death. Paul says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. This just wasn't out of nowhere. He didn't wake up and go, yeah, today's a good day to die. Most people don't do that, right? He died according to the Scriptures. That's why Jesus prayed in great agony, and after most prayer, when Judas arrived, which, by the way, we should talk more about that dude. Like, you want to talk about conniving. That Judas arrives, betrays them with a kiss, and then Jesus is arrested. Early Friday morning, he's falsely tried. He appeared before Ananias and the Sanhedrin, and Herod, and then Pilate. He goes through it. My man goes through it. Pilate eventually gave the crowd a choice. He said, hey, here's a mass murderer, or here's Jesus. Pick one. And they said, mass murderer. Bad choice, but that's who they chose. Barabbas. They literally chose Barabbas. And Jesus was then scourged, stripped, mocked, beaten, spat upon, had his beard pulled out, had a crown of thorns thrust on his head. He was forced to carry his cross, and he was literally killed, crucified. For 6 hours, he hung on a cross. He hung there and suffered. And when all of it was done, when all things were accomplished, you know the last thing Jesus said? You know the last words he said? Tetelestai. It is finished. Here's if for some of us that still have student loans, maybe we'll understand this. If you pay your student loans off and you get to the last little payment and you pay it off, you would say, Tetelestai, because you didn't pay that off way too long. I'm now in my 40s still paying them. You know, you're like, I'm done. It is finished, right? Or maybe you got a car payment or a house payment. You finally pay that thing off. Tetelestai. It is finished. It is not hanging on my back. It is not hanging over my head. It's done. I have nothing more to pay, nothing more to give. It's something that's completely. College students, when you graduate and you cross that stage, if you yell Tetelestai, I'm going to yell it back. Tetelestai. You're darn right. You graduate high school, yell it. It is finished. You have accomplished the goal that you've set out to do. Jesus, the last thing he said on the cross was Tetelestai. It is finished. He cried, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And after this, he bowed his head and died. Those are his last words. Don't overlook what Paul says in verse 3 of this passage. He doesn't tell us that Christ was crucified. He tells us why. I love that he tells you why. Because so many times people go, hey, you should do this. And in the back of your head, you're going, why? He tells you why. He literally gives you the why behind it. He said he died for our sins. Jesus willingly suffered for you, for me, for the sins of the world. By the way, if you haven't figured out yet, you weren't born yet. Now, I watched a TikTok the other day where somebody said that our kids that are born this year will live to the year 3000, and the math wasn't mathing for me. And the comments just roasted her. It was hilarious, right? But if your math is struggling like hers, you weren't alive back then. That means all your sins were future tense. That means all you've done in your short little life was future tense to Jesus, and he looked all the way into the future, saw you in all of your glory and your wretchedness, and said, I'm still willing to die for you. Amen. Matter of fact, if you were the only one left, he would have died for you. If you're the only one that would have received him, he would have died for you. That's what he looked in the future to say. The message is that God has for you is that Jesus suffered and died on your behalf on the cross so you can be delivered from your sin that has bound you. Question for the Christian, why are you holding on to your sin? When are you going to begin to let it go? Some of us hold on to our sin like it's a little pet. It's the best thing ever. It's so cute. It will kill you. He died for you. The sinless Son of God died for you. And not only is there a revelation concerning Jesus, we can also see that there's a revelation concerning Jesus' burial. Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture, and he was buried. After Jesus died, the soldiers came. One pierced him on the side with a spear, and blood and water flowed from the side. And shortly after this, Joseph of Arimathea, which I know all of us are like, who? And I love this, that they write in such specificity. Joseph of Arimathea. They make sure you know who his daddy was, his mama them. Like, he lets you know all of it, right? Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and said, can I get the body of Jesus? Well, which was unusual back then. Nicodemus brought myrrh and spices, strips of linen. They wrapped him. Both these men previously were secret disciples. By the way, some of y'all need to come out of the closet. Y'all secret disciples. You need to come out like they did. And the Lord, because they fear the Jewish leaders at the time, maybe you fear the world, And they took him and put him in Joseph's own tomb. They put him in Joseph's tomb right now. And in his tomb, it was hewn out of rock. And they rolled a great stone over the door of the sepulcher and departed. One commentator I was reading this week points out that there's more significant in his burial in a garden tomb that we might see at first. Because in the Garden of Eden, and the grave first received their power, and now the garden was conquered, disarmed, and triumphed over. In the garden it began his passion. From the garden he would rise again in exaltation. I love the fact that it started in the garden, it ended in the garden, and you have freedom from sin. Jesus died and was buried for his fathers. It seemed as if it was the end, but it was not the end. Matter of fact, I love it because you could think that it's Friday. So many people will look and say, it's Friday, and hope is lost, and death has won. That's what they believed in that time. When you read the scripture, you go, well, death has won. My Savior's dead. Sin has conquered, and Satan is just laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried in a grave, and the soldier stands guard, and a rock is rolled into place, but it's Friday. But it's only Friday. You see, Sunday was coming. Oh, yes, Jesus died, and Jesus was buried, but that wasn't the end. That's the part we have to remember. It wasn't the end, because our text here is a revelation concerning Jesus' death. It also shows us in verse 4 that there's a revelation concerning his resurrection. Amen. You see, it was still dark on Sunday when the women arrived. By the way, ladies, you were the first ones there. They ran up and they said, oh, we're going to go and check on Jesus. Stone was already gone. Stone was already rolled away. Mary ran to tell Peter and John that Jesus' enemies had taken the body. They didn't know where to find him. His body, and she was kind of freaking out. Peter and John raced back. By the way, if you yourself are sitting here going, I just don't know if the Bible is really real, you should read the book of John, because John literally puts in there that he's racing Peter and beats Peter back to the grave because Peter's old and slow. I love that little nuance that he puts in there, right? So John, he's got Usain Bolt little skills. He gets all the way to the thing. They looked in the tomb, and they saw the tomb was empty, but the tomb was not empty because the body was taken. The tomb was empty because he had risen. He had risen indeed. The angel appeared to the women at the tomb and said, fear not. By the way, have you ever actually thought about what an angel looked like? Because we always think like the little halo, couple wings, right? But then you think of like this multi-eyed octopus-looking thing with like wings every different direction. They're always like, don't fear. Bro, listen, if I saw one of those things, I'm scared, right? You got faces in all different directions, eyes on the wings, eyes. No. And they always have the audacity to come out and talk about, don't be scared. No, I'm scared, bro. literally their descriptions belong on Last of Us. But I mean, that's what an angel does all the time. But it says, do not be afraid. Fear not. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. But he's risen, he said. In 3 days, they placed him in a borrowed tomb, just like they said they would. And not only did he come out of the grave and remain there on earth for 40 days, my man just walked around earth, had meals with people, chilled with people. But not only that, but then he was seen by 500 witnesses. And then he ascended with a promise that he would return. And later, he met a dude named Saul on the Damascus Road. And all this is covered in every word 1 Corinthians chapter 15, read verse 4 with me. I just want you to read it one more time for me. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scripture. Keep going. And that he appeared to Cephas and then the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, to whom were all alive and who some had fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, that's his brother, to all the apostles. And last of all, one untimely born, he appeared to me. The beauty right there. He says he appeared to all those people. I love that the Apostle Paul right here is giving a bunch of notes. He says, hey, here's who you can talk to. Go talk to James, talk to Peter, come talk to me. There's 500 other dudes. Some of them died, but the rest of them are still here. Go talk to them. I'm going to point you in their directions. I love the connects that he has in this passage. And today, almost 2,000 years after his death, he's still alive. He's still alive. I got friends. I can't wait. This is one of my favorite things. I got friends that have gone to Israel and gone in the tomb and looked and came out and said, nah, I ain't there. I love that. Look at my Instagram. When I go to Israel, look at my Instagram. I will have that picture. I promise you. I will come out and be like, nah, I ain't here. That's gonna be the caption. That's all it's going to say. And every Easter moving forward, after I get that picture, I'm posting it. He still ain't there. I'm every single one. Why? Because he's not. He's just not there. And that's the gospel. It reveals the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because of the gospel, you're saved from your sins. As I told you earlier, this is for everyone. For some of y'all, it's a reminder. For some of y'all, it's just a reminder. Here, I'll go back to verse 1 and 2 because Paul even says that. So I'm just saying what Paul says. Here you go. Verse 1 and 2. Now I would remind you, brothers. See, there it is. It's just a reminder to some of y'all. I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. So for some of y'all, it's a reminder. Some of you just need a quick reminder of like, oh, okay, this is what's going on. He says, let me remind you of the gospel I preached to you, because apparently some of us and some members of that church have forgotten. Amen. We had forgotten what Christ has done for us. We forgot what he saved us from. Sometimes we spend so much time in the church and so little time around people outside the church that we forget how good God has been to us. We forget how much he's done for us, what he saved us from. And sometimes we look so much on the people outside the church and go, oh, well, look at them, they, but such were some of you. Such was all of me. Like, I mean, let's just keep it 100. Like, that's what it is. So many times we forget. Don't you dare forget. Let me remind you. Let me remind you what he saved you from. Now, some of y'all grew up in the church. You ain't never said a bad word in your life. You never thought a bad word. The worst word you ever said was frick, and you repented. Like, it's, and God bless y'all. Those of y'all that are people. But listen, don't think you haven't sinned either. Matter of fact, one of the words that's in the Bible that I love is called long suffering. Everybody say long suffering.
Long suffering.
It's what your parents do with you, but it's what God does with all of us. He walks with you through all of the muck and mire of your life. All the times you try him. All the times you push back on him, and he still loves you. And every single time in your life when you feel like God is distant from you, it's because you are running from him. And you need to be reminded that God is right here waiting on you. He's waiting like a father. When you run away, he says, I'm coming to hug you. I love the fact that the prodigal son, when he's far off in the distance, not close, far off in the distance, he girds his loins. His daddy girds up his loins and sprints. My man runs. Do you understand in that society for a man to run, for a man to get all that on, that was seen as uncouth. That was seen as wrong. You shouldn't run. Take off your rings and kiss your little boy. But he ran to him. He ran and embraced him and said, I love you. But daddy, I want to, ain't nothing to say. I know. I love you. You have a father that wants to do that to you right now. You have a father that's been waiting for you to come home. And we need to remember who we were before Jesus saved our souls. And then use that to have compassion and love on those around us. Not pity, but compassion and love to walk with them through their muck and mire. I love when people come to Christ and they're just a little bit rough around the edges, or a lot of bit rough around the edges, because that's who Christ had. Have you ever seen his disciples? All of his disciples were all kinds of ratchet. All of them. He had people that stole money from their own people that turned in people from their own people. You had people that would walk around. One of my favorite ones is Simon the Zealot. My man would carry a knife up his sleeve just so he could slit you real quick if you got too crazy with him. That was one of the guys they put with the tax collector that would take your money. He had all kinds of people that he rolled with that are his disciples, and he put them together and said, this is my church. These are my people. That is you. Listen, some of y'all go, oh, I got it all together. I'm prim and proper. I always look like that. And if we knew your life, some of us might be gathering our belongings and hold them a little bit closer to us. Because such were some of you. So let me be honest with you. Some of us, for this is a revelation. For some of us, this is just a reminder, as he said. Remember where you came from. Remember that you were fallen and repent and do the first works. God has a message for everyone here. For some of us, it's a revelation, and for others, it's a reminder. But both require a response. Amen. Both of them require a response. As you continue, let's move on to see that God has an opportunity for you. He has an opportunity for you. He says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, which you also received, that Christ died for our sin according to the scriptures. Verse 3. The opportunity I speak of is salvation through Christ. That's the opportunity that you get. And the opportunity that I get, that you're delivered from Christ's wrath. That God has an amazing opportunity, that Christ died for your sins means that you can be saved. Who can be saved? You can. Every one of you can. I can. Listen, if I can be saved, you surely got a chance. Because I know me. I look at me every day in the mirror and go, ooh, me? Yes, you. Yes, you. Yes, you and me. Matter of fact, Romans 10:13 says, whoever, everybody say whoever, shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever, that's you, that's me, that's you walking down the street, that's everybody, whoever. This means that you qualify. Furthermore, Jesus said that whoever believes on him, everybody say believes. Everybody believes on him will not perish but have everlasting life. You are granted everlasting life. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what you where you've been, what you did last night or this morning, no matter any of those things, God's message is for you because he died for you. He died for you. So he has a message for you. He has an opportunity for you. And he has a plan for you. I'm going to read the rest of this verse. We'll start in verse 5. It says this. And he appeared to Cephas and the 12, and he appeared to more than 500 other brothers at one time, from whom are still alive, but some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to Jesus and all the apostles, and last of all, one untimely born, he appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called the apostle, because I persecuted the church. But by grace of God, I am what I am. For his grace towards me was nor in vain, or on the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not but the grace of God that is in me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach and so you believe. Paul saw the resurrected Christ. He saw the resurrected Christ, and this is his account. Jesus didn't just save Paul. He saved him with a purpose. You, if you're a believer, you're saved with a purpose, and you got a job to do. And if you're not a believer, when you get saved, guess what? Welcome to the crew. Here we go. We got something to do. We're saved with a purpose, and you want to be the witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and this is exactly what he wanted for all his apostles and his followers. After the resurrection, he spent all these days, 40 days, at the time he ascended to heaven, they were seated at the right place, to be seated at the right side of the Father. But before leaving, Jesus said, I got a plan for you, Acts 1:8. He says, you can receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, where they were. He said, Judea, outside Jerusalem, Samaria, people across racial socioeconomic lines, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. He says, you get to go. You get that opportunity. You have something to do in your life. Believer, every one of you have been called with a purpose. It is not an accident. It was a plan. It wasn't happenstance. He chose you to come into his kingdom so that you can move for his glory and spread his word. So where are you called to be? What is the call in your life? You got to know this. And listen, if you're going, I don't know where mine is, that's perfect. That's perfect. It's right where you should be. That's exactly where I want you to be. I want you to start off where God can use you right now, where he can reach you right now, where you're willing to submit to him right now. And so some of us are going, well, what's my Jerusalem? Jerusalem's Jefferson City. Welcome. Well, what's my Judea? Mid-Missouri. Welcome. Right? I mean, go up to Columbia. They need Jesus. We keep going down, right? Go down to the lake. We definitely need Jesus down there. But what's Samaria? Who are the people that don't look like you, act like you? Who are the people across socioeconomic lines that are different than you? Who are the people that you usually wouldn't be with? Who are the others in your workplace or in your school or in your classroom? Who are those people that don't matter? Because those are the ones that matter to Jesus. Who are those others? That's your Samaria. In the Bible, the Samaria were the Jewish people that had bred with other people and followed other gods. Who are those people? That's your Samaria in the utmost part of the earth. By the way, if you say, hey, Pastor John, I want to be the utmost part of the earth, expect a passport application this afternoon. Because that's your first step. You can't go to the utmost part of the earth unless you got a passport. So we're going to start there. Yeah. We're going to start right there. Yeah. Now, some of us get scared when they say that. Oh, Pastor, what are you talking about? That's cool. You got to start somewhere. Amen. But God has called you with a plan, with a purpose, not by accident. So for those who are born again, this is our mission. This is our call. This is God's plan for us. And we may not have seen Christ with our physical eyes, but with eyes of faith, we are witnesses to the risen Christ, just like Peter and just like James and John and Andrew and Thomas and Paul and all the others. God intends for us to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what he calls for you to do. That's his plan for you. That's his plan for you to share the gospel. He wants to be about the business of telling the lost world about his goodness, mercy, and glorious saving grace in your life. And so spread his tidings around the world. Let people know about Jesus. Save lives by telling people that Jesus saves. And bear the good news with every land that you walk into. Live your life in such a way that it represents, reflects, and shows the world the good news of Jesus Christ. Onward is God's command in your life, because Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus expects his disciples to be witnesses to the world of his gospel. That is our job, Christian. That is your job, person who does not know who Jesus is. But today is the day that you receive him. For it's not hard for those people who saw the resurrection of Christ to go and share. That's easy. It's even more better for us, because we did not see it, but we have faith that it happened. And so we know that he's alive forevermore, because we know his tomb is empty. That's what we celebrate today. In fact, they couldn't keep quiet. I mean, honestly, go back and read the Bible. They couldn't keep quiet. These 12 dudes, these five ladies, flip the world upside down in less than 100 years. What could we do right now? What could we do if we actually live our lives fully 100%? But Pastor, that might mean leaving my job. Cool. But that might mean doing a different thing that God has called me to do. Good. But it looks great. What was it look like for you to live your life for Jesus Christ completely, unashamedly? Because some of us live our lives ashamed of it. This chapter gives us a clear gospel presentation. And every person in this room has the ability to respond. That Jesus rose again as he did for you. The opportunity for some of you, if you've never surrendered for Christ, is that you could be born again today. That you could receive the free gift of eternal life. That you could receive the gift that Jesus wants to give to you. God has a plan for you, that he didn't just save you just to sit and soak and wait for heaven. That's not what he did. Matter of fact, if he saved you just for that, he'd have killed you after he saved you, so you'd go straight away. But that's not the plan. That's not what he saved you for. He said, no, I got so much more for you. I can't wait for you to see all I have for you. Your job is to live. And some of y'all, back your head right now, I can hear it because I used to say it, but I can. I mean, Pastor, if you knew what I did, if you knew what people said about me, if you knew what people saw me do, do you know the way I was acting last night? Do you know what they got on me on Snap? Do you know that? Like, I can't go out there and tell people about Jesus. Yes, you can. Matter of fact, you're the best testimony. Do you remember what Paul said? He said, I'm the least of you because I used to persecute you. Yeah. Just in case you don't know, Paul was an avid and efficient murderer of Christians. Yeah. Yeah. Then gave his life to Christ and said, Jesus be the glory. Yeah. And they said, oh, whoa. Didn't you used to kill them? He's like, yeah, but Jesus be the glory. Yeah. Let me tell you about this Jesus. You're the perfect person to go out. I love the person that is rough around the edges that still wants to share Jesus. As long as you're willing to walk in repentance before a Lord, you will show the world what Jesus can do in your life. That's the good news. That's the good news. The gospel is a great news to a world that's never heard it, and you can be the witness. So how will you respond? How will you respond? You must respond. And by the way, I say this all the time, but the lack of response is a response. If you look at Christ today, dead in the eye, and go, I'm good, I'll wait till next time. One, you're not guaranteed a next time. Two, you've just rejected the God of the universe who came to die for you. Just understand that. It doesn't hurt me none. I'm not going to go home and cry. But you've rejected him. The one who died on a cross for you. The one who went to the cross knowing that he was dying for you and your sins. The one who has waited thousands upon thousands of years for this moment right here for you to respond. How do you respond? Christian, how do you respond? Do you finally come out and say, I'm living my life for Christ. I'm unashamed. I'm willing to pray. I'm willing to live my life. I'm willing to read my God's word. I'm willing to let go of my sin in my past. Are you willing to do that for the glory of who God is? The greatest news that the world has ever heard. Now that you've heard that gospel, how will you respond? I pray that you trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ in your life. Because Jesus sounded a warning in Mark 1 and 15. He says, and this warning is true today. He says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. It's clear. This gospel's clear. That Christ died for our sin, was buried, and rose again in the third days according to the scriptures. So I just beg of you. I beg you, because I can do nothing less. Repent and believe the gospel today. Let's pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you have a message for us today that you gave to us. For the believer and the non-believer, that we can repent and come to you. Jesus, I just ask right now that we make a decision. And that decision be one that glorifies you in your name. That decision be one that follows you with our heart, soul, and mind, that radically flips our life upside down. Gracious Father, I know right now that so many of us are scared because we know that next step. We know what you've called us to do. We've just been disobedient. We don't want to tell the world about you because we know what that'll mean for our lives. Or maybe for some of us, we've been playing around the edges for so long. We've been playing and we don't know how to tell the world or tell our fans, our friends and our family who've been praying for us for years that we want to receive you. Let us not play that game anymore. Let today be the day that changes everything. Let today be the day that changes our world, believer and non-believer, and brings us to a saving faith. We thank you so much that you died. We thank you so much that you rose and that that tomb is still empty. We celebrate that today. And as we do all the other stuff with our family and our friends, let us not forget the reason for today. That you are good and that you are God. And that we bring you glory and seek our joy in you. Thank you, Jesus, as we respond. In your name we pray. And all God's people would say,
thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.